your value system. Because the things that he values are not the things that man, the carnal man, values. He said, my ways are above your ways as the heavens are above the earth. And so we have to change our sense of values. The things that we think are important are really not very important, amen, in the kingdom of heaven. But what is most important in the kingdom of God is doing the will of the Father. It's not doing the things that please flesh, but it's doing the things that exalt the name of Jesus. And so there is a clash of values between the values of this world and the values of that world. Gold and silver is precious in this world, but it's just pavement in that economy. It's just dust beneath our feet in that world. Amen. Jesus said, don't labor for the things that perish. That all that is in this world is going to perish. It's vanity of vanities. But lay up treasure for yourself in heaven, where thieves don't break in and steal, where moth and rust do not corrupt. For wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There's a people, amen, that have set their heart upon heavenly things. Their value is not the things of this world, but their focus hard upon the things of God. And they, amen, will receive great reward in heaven. Amen. There are great rewards that are promised to those who make great sacrifice. To the same extent that we are willing to commit ourselves to God, amen, he will reward us, for he is faithful that promised. The Bible says that you can't even give a prophet a glass of water in his name, amen, without receiving a just recompense of reward, amen. And so if we want, amen, to have our portion with the great, if we want, amen, to receive the abundance of the things that God has preserved for them that strive for his blessing, we've got to be willing to lay everything on the line. Amen. If we are going to divide the spoil, amen, we must be strong. Strong in our faith. Strong in our determination. Hallelujah. Amen. May God give him his reward. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The Lord said, amen, even if they just give a glass of water, amen, they're going to receive a reward. Hallelujah. Mark it down. Amen. It's in the Word of God. Amen. If something so seemingly insignificant as just a glass of water is going to receive a reward in heaven, then by all means, let's live, let's work, let's commit, let's sacrifice, amen, for Jesus. Amen. Because great is your reward in heaven. Praise God. Amen. If you don't have much of an inheritance awaiting you in heaven, it's your own fault. Amen. Because it's not according to what he did, it's according to what you do. Amen. He was committed. Amen. He was willing to lay down his life. But he said something like this. Amen. If you're not willing to lay down your life for him, amen, you're not even worthy. You got to love him more than you love life itself. Because he that saves his life will lose it. But he that loses his life for my sake will find it. I want you to know, I believe that God is going to have some people that are willing to give everything. They're going to be willing to lay down all that they have in exchange for the kingdom. Why? Because he is going to divide him a portion with the great. Amen. God is going to have a company of great men. men and great women who make great sacrifices and great commitments to the cause of the kingdom of God. Amen. God will reward the righteous. And then he went on to say, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. God's not going to divide the spoil with the weak. He said he's going to divide the spoil with the strong. Amen. And so if you're just going to barely struggle to get into the kingdom, if you're going to be like the man that just lived on the edge, like to walk along the brink, amen, you're not going, amen, to benefit. Amen. The Bible says every man's work is going to be tried, what it's worth, what value, what it's made of. Amen. In Corinthians it talks about our works being tried as gold in the fire. Amen. You're going to be tried and you're going to be tested if you're a child of God. Amen. You're going to have to be willing and you're going to have to pass through the fire of trials and temptation. You're going to have to go through fiery trials. Amen. That the enemy brings your way if you're going, amen, to emerge as one of those who are great in faith. Because our works are going to be tried to see whether they're of gold or silver or precious stones. Things that can survive the fire. And those whose works survive the trials and the testings of life, they're going to be rewarded accordingly. According to the value of their works. But others, their works will be like wood and hay and stubble. And the Bible says that the fire will devour their works. Amen. Their works will be counted as nothing. Amen. Now, giving a glass of water is not going to be counted as nothing. So if all you can do is provide a glass of water, amen, then do it. Because that is going to be justly rewarded. But there are some things that are going to be counted as nothing. They're going to be counted as wood and as hay and as stubble. And the Bible says that their works will be burned up. That they will have lived a long life. Can anybody tell me anything great about Methuselah? What great works did Methuselah do? You mean 969 years that he lived on? He lived longer than any man on the face of the earth. 969 years. And we can't even name one thing that he ever did. Not one noteworthy thing. You'd think after 969 years, he could have at least done something. God forbid, amen, that all that we are content to do, amen, is occupy space and breathe air. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. God didn't put us here just to occupy space, to breathe air, and consume, be a consumer of other people's works. Amen. But we are to be doers of good things. We're to minister to one another. We're to show love one to another. Amen. Because we are called to good works. We're called to manifest the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness of Almighty God. Oh God, help us to do something that's going to last. Do something that's going to endure. Do something that's going to make a difference in somebody's life. There may be somebody today that needs a word of encouragement. There may be somebody in a jail cell, amen, that's feeling lonely and abandoned today. There may be somebody today that's hungry and has nothing to put on the table. There may be somebody today that doesn't have anything to clothe themselves with to give warmth. But today, Amen. We're called to minister and be His hands and His feet and to do the work of Jesus Christ. He said, in that you do it to the least of these, my brethren, you do it unto me. Amen. Anything you do, amen, for the cause of Jesus Christ will not go unrewarded. Great is our reward in heaven. Hallelujah. And blessed or happy are those who are persecuted for the cause of righteousness. It doesn't say anything about people being blessed who are persecuted for doing nothing. But those who do what's right, those who live, amen, in holiness and righteousness and desire to please the Lord, blessed or happy are those who suffer for Christ's sake. Can you say praise God? The blessings of the kingdom are our inheritance. And we are blessed when we are reviled. We are blessed when we are persecuted for His name. We are blessed when we are falsely accused of all kinds of evil for the name of Jesus Christ. We are blessed and we are commanded to rejoice and be exceeding glad. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. A blessed people ought to be a happy people. The Bible says, rejoice and be exceeding glad in that you were counted worthy to suffer persecution, because in the same manner they persecuted the prophets of old, and great is your reward in heaven. If you're hated, if you're despised, if you're reviled, if you're falsely accused for His name's sake, amen, count it all joy. Rejoice and be glad. Amen. But in great company. Well, amen. There were great men. There were great women before you. Amen. That suffered for my name's sake. Amen. They went through trials and afflictions, but they did it with joy. Amen. They did it with power. They did it, amen, with the strength of the Lord. You're in great company today. And so if you're enduring difficulties and trials and temptations, if you're lonely, if you're despised, if you're rejected because of His name, count it all joy and rejoice with exceeding great joy. Why? Because great is your reward in heaven. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. I said this is going to be about the 10-12s. Matthew 5, 10-12. Isaiah 53, 10-12. Now I want you to go to 2 Timothy. Amen. Chapter 3, 10-12. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all. Now this is the one that I want you to remember. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Paul said, you know my doctrine. Do you think doctrine might have anything to do with persecution? You think what you believe might be one of the reasons why that you're going to be hated and you're despised? The Bible's in the last day that men will not heed sound doctrine. Amen. I thank God for the doctrine today. Amen. I thank God for the apostles' doctrine that's able to save us and those that hear us, because we have the gospel, amen, that was once delivered unto the saints. We have the gospel, amen, that the apostles preached. We have the gospel that Jesus ordained and He authorized. We have the gospel today that's able to save, amen, to the salvation of the soul. We have a more sure word of prophecy that was given to us, not by the hands of the word of men, but that was given to us by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, you know my doctrine. Hallelujah. I wonder how many people know our doctrine. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Hell, I don't want to be ashamed of the doctrine. Hallelujah. Amen. Will you stand for truth even though it is unpopular? Will you stand for the truth even though it might mean, amen, personal loss? Will you stand for the truth, even though it means that your friends may turn against you? Jesus said, if you don't love me more than father or mother or brother or sister or husband or wife, you're not even worthy of me. You've got to love the gospel. You've got to love the truth. You've got to stand upon the precepts of the word of God, because it's able to save you. You know my doctrine, my manner of life. Amen. When we stand before the judgment seat and we're rewarded according to our works, you think it's going to matter what manner of life we lived? You think it's going to matter, amen, whether or not, amen, that we separated from the ungodliness of the world? Amen. Somehow I believe that the church, amen, of the first century was a little bit different. And the world that they were a part of, amen, that they were a separate people. My Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not, taste not, handle not. Why? Because great is your reward in heaven. Because you're going to be judged by your works. You're not going to be saved by your works, but you're going to be judged by your works. You're going to be rewarded according to how you lived in this life. You're going to be judged about what kind of neighbor you were, about what kind of a husband you were, what kind of a wife that you were, what kind of a father, what kind of a mother. Those things won't save you, but they certainly set you apart. Your life, it does matter. The way you live matters. Amen. Where you go matters. What you say matters. How you dress matters. Amen. Why? Because it's for the kingdom of heaven's sake. And we do it because we want to please the Lord. We do it because we want to honor the name of Jesus. Great is your reward in heaven. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I believe that one day He's going to divide the spoil. Amen. I'm going to hurry. Amen. I'm going to give you a short version today. Amen. When God led the children of Israel out of Egypt, the Bible said they spoiled the Egyptians. They took of their treasures. They took of their gold and their silver and their precious ointments. Amen. And they got back wages for all the things, amen, that they rightfully deserved. They got back all their back wages, and God blessed His children. I want you to know that God is going to spoil, amen, the kingdoms of this world, and He's going to hand it over to the children of God. We're going to divide the spoils. Amen. The Bible says we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Christ, and we're going to rule and reign. Amen. Isaiah said He's going to divide the spoils. You know why? Because the kingdoms of this world are going to come crashing down. Amen. There were four world kingdoms in the vision that Daniel had. The kingdom of gold and the one of silver and the one of bronze and the one of iron and iron and part clay. And the kingdom of God was like a rock cut out of a mountain, and it smote the image. Amen. And it ground the gold and the silver and the bronze and the iron and the clay. The Bible says it ground it to powder, and that rock became an exceeding great mountain, and it filled all the earth. I want you to know, he said, I'm going to divide the spoil with the strong. If you'll be strong, if you'll be courageous, if you'll remain true to the principles of God and His Word, you shall inherit great reward. Great reward. Amen. And in closing today, amen, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 24 and 25, there was a day that David and his army went out to battle. And when they returned from the battle, amen, their homes lay in ruins. And the smoke of destruction rose from the city of Ziklag, because the Amalekites, amen, it came, and they had taken their wives and their children and their servants and all that they had, and they had taken it away. Amen. But I want you to know, amen, that God, amen, wants to bless you. The devil may have tried to destroy your home. The devil likes to destroy things, but God likes to, amen, He likes to return things. He likes to restore things. The God that I know, amen, restores marriages. He restores, amen, the things that the devil wants to take away from you. The devil would like to rob you of your children, rob you of your heritage, rob you of your inheritance. But I've got news from the devil, amen, because he's the divider of the spoil. He'll divide the spoil with the strong. If you'll just be strong in faith and you'll hold on to God, He will revive you. He will restore to you the things that the devil has tried to take away. And so David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said to pursue. And David pursued after the Amalekites. And David defeated the enemy. David recovered all of the spoils that the enemy had taken. They regained their wives and their children and their possessions and their servants. And the Bible says that they recovered all. I said, the Bible said they recovered all. They recovered everything. Because God was with them. Amen. The devil may think that he's got you defeated. It may look hopeless. In fact, it was so bad that when they first arrived at Ziklag, that even David's own men turned against him. Amen. They were about to have a church split, sure enough. It was them against David. Amen. And if they could have, they would have killed him. The leader that they had so courageously fought for and followed into battle, they were turned on him. You know, it's amazing. When the devil inflicts wounds upon us, how we turn on one another. When a little adversity comes into our life, we begin to look for a scapegoat. You did it. You're the cause of my problem. You're the one that caused me the trouble that I'm having. And how often we turn to our wife or our husband, amen, and point an accusing finger. Or sometimes it's just convenient to look at the kids and say, it's your fault. Or the Sunday school teacher. Or the bus captain. They begin to blame David for their calamities. David didn't cause that trouble. But he began to call on the Lord. Hallelujah. And they recovered all. But when they got back to their stuff, you see, all of them couldn't pursue the enemy because some of them were too weary from the battle. Some of them didn't have the physical strength to carry on. Some of them were more advanced in years and had more physical disabilities. They couldn't all pursue the enemy. David had 600. 400 pursued the enemy. And 200 stayed with the stuff. And when they got back with all the spoils of war, there were some in David's company that did not want to share the victory with those that had remained behind. They felt like they should enjoy all of the fruit of God's blessing. I want you to know it's never, amen, right for you to experience the blessings of God without sharing them with somebody else. It's never right. It's never the will of God for you to keep it to yourself. Amen. It's never all right, amen, to harbor, amen, and to hoard the blessings of God, whether in the natural realm or in the spiritual realm. And David said, that's not right. And so he established what I call the law of the spoils. In 1 Samuel 30, verses 24 and 25, David made a law that those who stayed behind to guard the equipment and the supplies would share equally in the spoils of war with those who fought on the front lines of the battlefield. We can't all go to South America. We can't all go to the jungles of Africa. We can't all go to Southeast Asia. We can't all go, amen, to Bourbon Street. We can't all go, amen, to the jungles of New York and Chicago. We can't all go, amen, to the front lines of the battlefield. But I want you to know, wherever God placed you, whatever God has given you to do, amen, you need to do it with all your heart, with all your might, and with all your strength, because you're going to share with the victories of the missionaries in Africa. You're going to share the victories, amen, of those that are on the front lines in the battlefield, if you'll do your part. Because it's only fair. The law of the spoils. For every soldier on the front lines, it takes 3 other soldiers to provide support. For every soldier on the battlefield, there are 3 more, amen, that are vital, amen, to his victory. Everybody can't, amen, lead the singing. Everybody can't teach a Sunday school class. Everybody can't be a pastor. Everybody can't be an evangelist. Amen. Everybody can't, amen, do this or do that. But I want you to know everybody can be faithful. Everybody can commit. Everybody, amen, can do those things that God has given them to do with excellence, with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their might, and with all their strength. Because great is your reward in heaven. And then finally in 2 Chronicles 15:7, but you be strong, because he's just going to divide the spoil with who? Who's he going to divide the spoil with? The strong. Amen. I want you to say amen to God. I'm going to be strong. Amen. I'm going to be strong in the doctrine. I'm going to be strong in my commitment to holiness. I'm going to be strong in my commitment to, amen, to stewardship. I'm going to be strong, amen, in my desire to forgive others. I'm going to be strong in loving my brother and loving my sister. I'm going to be strong. I'm not going to waver. Amen. I'm not going to vacillate. I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be strong in my church attendance. I'm going to be strong in disciplining my flesh. I'm going to be strong in prayer and fasting and Bible study. I'm going to be strong in witnessing to others about the grace of God. I'm going to be strong in my worship. I'm going to be strong under the Lord. But you be strong. And do not let your hands be weak. Be courageous. For your work shall be rewarded. For your work shall be rewarded. Even if it's just a cup of water. Even if it's just coming to church on time. Even if it's just paying your tithes and giving your offerings. Even if it's just telling somebody about the love of Jesus. Even if it's just forgiving someone that's done you wrong. Even if it's just visiting somebody in a hospital or a nursing home or a jail cell. Great is your reward. Would you stand right now? Great is your reward. But he's going to divide the spoil with the strong. We've got to be strong people. We've got to be strong. We can't be weak. Amen. We can't, amen, be fearful. We can't be uncommitted. We can't be inconsistent. Because we're going to be judged by our works, not His works. The work that He did on Calvary was perfect. Amen. He didn't do anything wrong. But He's going to judge you by your works. Even a word, an idle word that we speak. He said He's going to judge the words that we speak and the acts that we do. I want to be faithful to God. I want to receive a reward. Hallelujah. Would you pray right now? God, we pray right now. In Jesus' name, bless those who would commit. Happy is he that is persecuted for righteousness' sake. Happy is he that's reviled for your name's sake. Happy is he that's falsely accused of all kinds of evil for your name's sake. Happy, rejoice, and be exceeding glad. You may be going through a trial today, but don't fret, because great is your reward if you'll be strong. Amen. Paul said, I went through all kinds of perils, tribulations, and trials, but the Lord delivered me out of them all. Oh, hallelujah. You can be a champion. You can be a victor. Amen. You can be one of those who obtain a great inheritance, because he's going to divide him a portion with the great. Amen. You can be a great prayer warrior. You can be a great child of God. You can be a great witness. You can be great today if you'll follow Jesus. But he that's greatest must be a servant. You want to be great? Serve. You want to be great? Humble yourself. If you want to be great, honor the Lord and prefer your brother above yourself. And he will divide a portion with the strong. Hallelujah. Would you come and let's gather? Let's pray. Let's seek the Lord. God bless you.
I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere to touch you from my heart, to show you how much I care. Climb the highest mountain, cross the deepest sea, to pour my love on you. What you need, I'll be. I'll do anything. Oh, I'll go anywhere to touch you from my heart, show how much I care. I climb the highest mountain, cross the deepest sea, to pour my love on you, Lord. What you need, I'll be. Oh, I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere to touch you from my heart and show how much I care. I'll climb the highest mountain, cross the deepest sea, to pour my love on you, Lord. What you need, I'll be. Oh, I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere to touch you from my heart, to show how much I care. I'll climb the highest mountain, cross the deepest sea, to pour my love on you. What you need, I'll be. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake.
Jesus said, "Then shall the King say unto them on the right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." And then shall the righteous answer, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, or fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? Or when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" And the King shall answer and say, "Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me." One of the most important things about Christian life is service. All of us are called to serve. All of us are called to serve. Everybody here, you have a ministry, a service that you do for Jesus Christ. It'll be different for everybody, but everybody has a service. Some of you, your service may not be physical. That time has passed for you, so your service may be prayer, more intense and more in depth than it's ever been before. Amen. Some of you, you still have a little strength. Amen. And there may be physical things that you may be able to say, but all of us can do something. I think it's good to ask the Lord, "What would you have me to do? How can I please you?" Amen. I want to serve the Lord. How about you? I don't want to just sit at the table. After I've eaten, I want to get up and go to work. I want to produce something. Amen. For the kingdom's sake. He's been so good to me. I want to give something back to Him. Service is important. Amen. It's so important. God, don't ever let me lose a servant's heart. Don't ever let me get to the place where I can say, "Well, I've done my share." I don't ever want to get a bad case of the used to's. I've known folks that got the used to's. "I used to do this and I used to do that. I used to." Amen. But I want to have a servant's heart. If it needs doing and I can do it, I'll do it. Amen. How about you? Any doers here today? We've been hearers. Any doers here today? Amen. All right. God bless you. Wonderful message. And God spoke to our hearts here today. Praise the Lord. So we'll see you again at 5:30 for prayer. There's a ministry. Amen. And then for service tonight, 6 o'clock. God bless you. Amen. Good to see you. Amen. We're happy to have Carolyn Perry here today. Amen. This is her first service with us. We're so glad to see you. God bless you. Greet one another in the name of the Lord.